defining where you're going and why you're going there, that's a necessity. If you want to tap into that satisfaction of life and that happiness and that fulfillment and that joy that nothing else can affect.
Do you have this? I know you have this.
Oh, you do? You know I have this?
I know you have this problem. It's a problem.
Okay, now you're right.
Yeah. I was talking to someone about this shift from kind of people pleaser to like saying the thing, saying the truth. Actually, it was a coaching client because he's like, he never just says the truth of what he's thinking or what needs to be said. Mm-hmm. And he was like, why do I do this? And I thought of you and me immediately because we've talked about this.
Turns
so much.
Out you are right. I do have that problem. Was but I like, the coaching client?
I wasn't going to give it away. But why is it so hard?
Why is it so hard? Like if you play it out in your mind, it's never as big of a deal as you think it will be.
Right.
So if I play it out in my mind, it's fine. But I'm just, there's some like core people pleaser thing that I don't want to make someone feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I think that's, so it doesn't make sense when I say it out loud. So I don't know why it exists.
Right. Yeah. And then you live with all this tension afterwards that you didn't actually say the thing.
And then the regret of saying anything and the regret of not saying it because you're trying to be a people pleaser.
Yeah. Well, was this us talking about, I think it was on another podcast, they had interviewed Rick Rubin and they were talking about how cool it was that he just said the thing. Mm-hmm. And it was not judgment. It wasn't mad. It wasn't laced with any of these emotions. It was just him saying the truth that he was thinking or feeling. And it was, he walked in the room and it was a little too cold for him. And he said, it's kind of cold. Can you like turn the heat up? And then they had this whole thing about, like, that was amazing that he just named the thing. I would never be able to just say, like, I'm cold. But then it's also fascinating that he wasn't, if they had responded like, no, actually, we like the temp this way, so we're going to keep it like that. Mm-hmm. He'd be like, okay, cool.
Yeah, it wasn't confrontational.
He wasn't going to be mad about that, but it wasn't that he needed the change to happen. He was just simply stating the truth of how he felt in the moment, no strings attached, and how
refreshing.
How amazing that is.
How refreshing.
Yeah. And how refreshing too if you could also say like, no, actually I like this temperature.
Yeah, no, this works for me actually. This is good.
It's ridiculous. Like why is it so hard?
But it is for people like me.
Yeah. You're the problem.
Only me.
It's you.
Yeah.
We have Brittany back on the podcast today.
The greenhouse coach.
Brittany McDonald, if you haven't heard, she's been on the pod. You can check her out on the website. She is an awesome coach and just a really interesting person in terms of how she does life and work in general. So that's kind of the topic today, how she approaches that. I love how Brittany actually lives it out. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting to hear the ways how that looks for her. But the reason I love conversations with Brittany is she is a very positive person, but also a very kind of optimistic, trying to live life to the full person. Mm-hmm. And I think we need more of that in the world. And she doesn't just say those things, like she actually lives them out. So it's really energizing to hear from her.
And it was cool too, because yes, she is more predisposed to being optimistic and all these things, but she talks some in the podcast about the things that she does that allows her to be that person throughout the week, which is cool. Cause I think often people are like, that's you. I'm not that. I can't have any elements of that.
Yeah.
In life.
Or honestly, there are a lot of those like optimistic, positive people who then don't do much with it. They're just, it's kind of all talk. Mm-hmm. And Brittany's like, no, she lives it and she is practical. It's funny because you could just meet her and think she's all kind of just like sunshine and fluff. And it's like, no. She's actually really like, when you get down to the tactics of it with her, oh, she knows what she's doing and she's got like plans and approaches and she's practical about it. So yeah, it's refreshing that combination of living life to the full with practical daily life from someone who's got a big family, a lot of stuff going on, and knows the realities of day-to-day life. What's your day like?
Today?
Yeah.
This morning, I got up at 4:25. You know what? A lot of people give me that face. But I have been getting back into the routine of working out super early. So I rejoined.
All right, we're done. I rejoined Burn Boot Camp.
And I go to the 5 a.m. workout. And I am slightly addicted to it.
You're just making all of us look bad.
No, no, don't, you don't look bad. You maximize a different part of the day. So got up at 4:25, and today was different because after my 5 a.m. class, I then taught a 6:30 Zumba. So went to Burn Boot Camp at 5, taught Zumba at 6:30, but then since that goes until 7:30, I needed to get dressed and go straight from the gym to the office.
Oh, geez.
And so I had to be super productive.
How you feeling over there?
Very, very bad to myself.
Be successful, you have to start your day pre 5 a.m.
I haven't seen pre 5 a.m. because I woke up like that. Maybe ever.
I'm just always up. So
yeah, I'm more likely to still be up at 4:15 or whenever you woke up to wake up at 4:15.
Tim Ferriss, he was going to have me in the book, and he was like, well, that's just like too early for what we're trying to accomplish here.
But I mean, speaking of books, I'm almost done with listening to The Miracle Morning. Mm. Have you listened to that or read it? But it's that the idea of maximizing your morning before you actually have to go and do things.
Yeah.
Like spending either from the first 6 minutes to the first 60 minutes being really intentional about what you do in your morning.
Yeah.
And so he has like these, like the savers method where you do all these particular things to prepare for your day, and exercise is in there.
Oh, I love it. I am not an exercise in the morning person, but part of it for me has been, I think ever since starting a business, it was like, well, there's these really important tasks to get done that are so hard when you're bouncing between like meetings and things during the day, because it takes a lot of either concentration, or it's like a strategic thing where you got to kind of lay a bunch of stuff on the table and look at it all. Mm-hmm. And so I started realizing, well, the morning is my only uninterrupted time.
Yeah.
The earlier morning. So I started trying to get up earlier, but it was hard. But now I'm really motivated to, I'm still not good at it, but I like it because it's, even if I have a big chunk of time during the day, it's still, the phone is buzzing and you're worried that you're missing something. And it's not the same as morning. I just know I'm good for a while.
It's the only time you can consistently have like your time
and
space that is not going to be interrupted. No one is calling you unless it's an emergency. Calling. No one's texting you. Yeah. Like,
because even at night, I was like, at night was my time for that. But then it started, well, something would pop up or you'd hang out with somebody or you were too tired. And it's just like, it
wasn't inconsistent.
Yeah.
And so I am an advocate for get up early. Do it.
Why are you?
Get
out of the studio. This is so annoying. Okay. Then tell me, what does their typical day look like? So, and are they different, like given the day of the week?
The only morning that's different, and throughout the day can vary, but the only morning that is different as far as a weekday is going to be Thursdays, and that's because I do two workouts versus one.
Okay.
But I get up at 4:30. I'm out of the house by 4:42, and
what is this?
Do my 5 a.m. workout. It's great because it is exactly 45 minutes. Can we put up a graphic for this?
We're going to do a side-by-side of my morning routine.
4:42, Joe's still asleep.
Here's the thing. I had just already gotten ahead of my day and was already asleep for the next day.
See, 42.
It's all about how you prioritize.
It's all perspective. It's
in your perspective.
10:42, Joe's still asleep.
Still asleep.
Brittany has completed her day.
11, Joe is starting his next day.
Day two of this day. I was joking with someone the other day, and I got into the office, and she was asking me about my morning, and she was like, so this is like day two. And I was like, yeah, I have 3 full days within every day.
Yeah.
So I was like, when I left work that day, she was like, on to day three. I'm like,
but that is another benefit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved, once I could kind of organize my own schedule, I realized mornings, if I don't start meetings till later, because I was always used to meetings starting at like 8 a.m. every day. If I don't start any meetings ever till like 10 o'clock, I could get a day's worth of stuff or sometimes a whole week's worth of stuff done in one day, one morning. And I mean, it's hard to keep that up over time, but yeah, it's now at this point, I can only get the important stuff done in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like my concentration, my brain capacity, all of it is better in the morning. And so got to get it done.
Yeah. Okay, so wait, go back to what's a day in the life like?
Yeah, so once my workout will finish at 5:45, I am back home by like 6:10. And then I usually take about 20 to 30 minutes to just have like downtime for myself, whether it's reading a devotional or thinking through my day, looking at my calendar, having another cup of coffee on top of the Celsius I already had. But my kids get up at 6:30, 6:35-ish, get them on the bus. Their bus comes super early. And so that's part of it too, needing to be up before everyone else is up in the house so that I can be ready to receive them versus kind of just going with the flow once they wake me up.
Yeah.
But get them on the bus and then I get ready for work and I am out the door around 8:10. And then I'm in the office, and that can vary as far as what that looks like, because I may be, you know, I may have to leave the office again for a client meeting, or I may be in the office for team meetings, or I might be making calls to prospect new businesses. So it just, that can vary, which is helpful for me because I am very extroverted, but also I need things to kind of shift. I need a variety of things because I get bored very easily. And so I like that there is, within the consistency, there are inconsistencies that are helpful for me to stay focused and really maximize the time.
Well, that's what's interesting to me about the morning routine you have. Because, yeah, I wouldn't guess that on the surface. But I get it. I guess I'm similar in that way. I love variety, but I'm valuing isn't the right word. It's like I'm enjoying the morning consistency more and more.
Yeah, I think as I get older and as I realize the benefits to what I do in the morning. Mm-hmm. So if I just got up at 4:30, but I, you know, didn't do something that actually made me feel good, then I think I would look at it a little bit differently. But because of what I'm doing and how it makes me feel, I think I really value that time.
Yeah.
And when there are mornings that I, you know, deviate from that or don't do my workout and get up at the same time, I feel it my whole day. My whole day feels off. I feel anxious. I feel like I just can't get it together. I feel like I'm like missing something. Yeah. Even though nothing is necessarily going on, my brain is not working at the capacity that it can. It is interesting but amazing how different my disposition is when I don't stick to that same routine.
Yeah.
It's funny. I've been realizing, because same way, I love variety. Mm-hmm. I love traveling. I love all these things. But I'm like, I'm a routine person too. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting starting to realize that. It's like with everything you're saying, it's like if I don't get to the gym at 7:15 or these other things, it's like everything's thrown off and I'm not able to enjoy the spontaneity or adventure or anything. And everything just kind of starts to unravel without it.
Yeah. I straight up just get mad at my family in the morning. If any of them come down and interrupt, it's because I've started that morning time too late. But I'm always trying to do like a focused, important work thing right when, you know, like my daughter walks in and she just wants to give me a hug. And I'm like mad at her. Get out of here.
How dare you?
I get it. And
you're ruining my flow.
That's exactly how it used to be because I'm like, oh, I'm trying to get this done. Like, why are you being a regular person and wanting to do regular people things?
Yeah.
Like, not yet, but being able to do what I need to do and be done with that before anyone else needs me, I can take care of what I need from me.
Yeah.
And it makes a world of difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Versus I know a lot of people have this. I, for a long time, had the dynamic where it's like, no, work, air quotes, is like, is kind of going to meetings and all the stuff during the day, mm-hmm. the busy work. And then you get the real stuff done at night in your leftovers. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you never felt ahead or on top of things yeah. or in a good position.
Yeah.
I don't think I could ever go back to that.
Yeah. I don't think so at all. It just, that I realized that operating in that way, I was not getting what I really could out of life.
Yeah.
It was like, I am missing out and really wasting time.
Yeah. What do you, yeah. I don't know if this is a hard question, but what are some of the goals or priorities for you in life right now? What's important to you? What are you trying to, I don't know, what are you focused on or excited about?
Yeah. So I am excited about a lot of different things as far as just our family. I mean, of course, we have four girls yeah. and they are all in activities, or the older two are in more activities and the younger two are about to start activities. And so really being able to give them the opportunities to, you know, seize the day, do the things, go and experience. And I want to cultivate that uh-huh. for them. And so a lot of the things that I do as far as work is trying to create opportunity for the girls. And so it gets me really excited to see them excited about things.
Yeah.
Briella, my second oldest, she's really good at gymnastics and she's really, really passionate about it. And so I want to make sure that I do what I can to be able to create that opportunity for her.
Yeah.
And the same with the other girls as they are growing and developing. That really gets me excited to see them like want to experience the world and want to try new things. And I want to be able to give them those opportunities that yeah. I may not have had growing up.
Like, how have you approached work in order to do that?
Yeah. So I think a big part of that is I am willing to sacrifice what I may desire as far as what work looks like right now mm-hmm. For a temporary amount of time so that I can help to get us in a place that we can provide in the way that we want to.
Yeah.
And so having a traditional job added into the plethora of things that I do, but having a traditional, you know, go into the office and, you know, work every day and do some things that are, you know, going to be recurring throughout the week. Uh-huh. Having that sort of position is not the ultimate goal, but I know that for us to get to where we need to be, I need to add that in for a little while because yeah. it's going to add a level of consistency. We were talking about consistency, uh-huh. but it's going to add a level of consistency within finances that allow us to create opportunity later.
Yeah.
And so I'm willing to make those sacrifices. And that's a big part of it. I'm also willing to try new things and uh-huh. add on additional opportunities as they come as well.
Yeah.
Because it really adds to the ability to make those things happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's interesting. Me and Ashley were talking the other day about, because there's some things in building her business that she mm-hmm. hasn't had time to do. And she's on the hook for a lot of the, like she has a very narrow window of time during the day mm-hmm. where she can work, and it's usually filled with clients. And we're talking about how there's never time to get the other stuff done. Yeah. I mean, it was stuff like setting up email sequences and getting database mm-hmm. things in place and all this stuff that's like yeah. early stage business. And she said, well, I mean, I don't know when I'm ever going to be able to do this. And I said, well, I mean, let's step back and look bigger picture, mm-hmm. because if those things are really important, maybe you can block off some time and not see clients.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh yeah. I mean, it's just when you're in the
yeah,
throes of it,
you don't think
like I could change this.
Yeah.
And money, same thing. Like we've had mm-hmm. times where I think in the past the idea was, oh, it's just always about getting more and more and more. Mm-hmm. And now we're in a place where we might kind of push and pull uh-huh. depending on what we want at that time in life or what we need to do. No, actually we're kind of scaling back how much money she makes right now mm-hmm. so she can get some of that important foundational yeah. stuff done,
yeah.
which is a little, in the moment felt counterintuitive, but when you take a step back and mm-hmm. look the bigger picture, it was like, no, that makes complete sense.
Yeah. And it sets you up well for the future. And so that's kind of the thing right now. It's, you know, we are scaling up what I need uh-huh. to bring in, but it'll allow us to create margin. And so we can save, we can pay off things, we can, you know, really set ourselves up well, because I know that eventually there's going to be a period of time where I may not be bringing in that much income because I have to take time to establish yeah. and get into what the things that I'm really passionate about and that I really want to do.
But see, that's what's so cool to me about the way you've approached it, at least in the short time I've known you, because you piece together things. So you have that stable kind of J-O-B right now that's that's the stable money piece you need and to enable those things for your kids. But then you've also got some other gigs like your coaching with Greenhouse that provides more of the passion and purpose that's like really energizing. But so you still have that piece, even though it's not your full time. And you've done that with other things too, like being a Zumba instructor. And for anyone who didn't listen, you came on several episodes ago and shared about your career journey, but you have done different things that fill like the extroverted side of you, love doing serving. And so you kind of did that for fun. And I really think it's cool how you've pieced those things together.
Yeah. What I've realized, especially when looking at working, sometimes the word work can bring such negative feelings. But what I've realized, especially the older that I get, work is such a large part of our lives. We spend more time working or at work than we do probably doing anything else. And so when I realized, okay, these are the certain things that I am passionate about. I know I love connecting with people. I have a very big personality and I like places that I can express that and it's okay. And it's not like, dial it back. but I like to be places where me being me is actually palatable for the people that I'm around. And so I look for opportunities that I can do that. And if I can be compensated for it at the same time, that is a cherry on top. And so with being a Zumba instructor, I would love if I could teach Zumba and then coach clients and then go teach another Zumba class. Like, and that could be
is
my
that
life.
Your dream?
That would be the dream.
Okay, this is good. This is no longer an interview. This is a one-on-one.
Yes.
Tell me more.
This is what I would like to do.
No, I didn't actually realize that.
I mean, that would be my dream. I love it because those things, and similar to when I was serving, although I don't know that I would add that in as like a all the time thing, but I would do it here and there because there's a certain energy that I get from it where I'm getting to inspire people. I'm getting to use this part of me that is kind of just, it comes natural to do some of these things and I get paid for it. Like, That is
we need
the
to combine
ultimate
these.
Dream. Yes, if
there
I
needs
could
to be
figure
a Zumba
out, like,
career coaching, like Zumba and life coaching, because it's kind of like when we did coaching and cocktails, where the combo makes it more fun.
Oh my gosh,
to do the deeper work.
I left that event feeling like
me too.
I can conquer the world.
That was so fun.
Oh, so much fun.
We got to get that back up and I'm
we
writing
do.
That down.
Write that down.
Come on. Let's go.
Put it in the notebook. But things like that where you are using this part of you that you feel energized by, but then you're seeing other people's lives impacted. And it's just, it's like this circular thing, like all the impact just keeps going. And then I'm excited. Now you're excited. So I'm excited again. And then
can anyone tell Brittany brings the energy?
So,
I'm not
sure.
Just
not much, you know, just,
but that's cool. But I actually, to rewind, you said something important there that like places and situations that, you know, what the energy you bring is palatable to them. I think that is important because
really
that's you being you, and that there are a lot of work settings that would be like, okay, tone it down, or like you need to be more serious, right? And
I've definitely been in those. So yeah,
that's not it's not like, oh, that's not the right fit for you. It's like, well, then you can't actually bring to the table what you do best.
Yeah. And then you leave those places feeling drained versus energized. And so when I was working in a position that gave me that type of like, I'm drained. Oh my gosh, I've like worked all day. I would get home and I am showing up as tired, frustrated. I don't want to be bothered. And that's the version of me that my family is getting.
Yeah.
When I leave from a coaching session, they are like, who is this? Like, weren't you just at work? My kids will literally ask like, didn't you say you were working?
Yeah.
I'm like, let's go and do this. Like, it's just when what you are spending your time doing outside of home can energize you to keep going and do the things mm-hmm. well at yeah. home. It makes such a big difference.
I couldn't agree more. Same happened for me when I started going entrepreneurial, and it was like, who are you? And it is like the best version of me, because even though that's a stressful thing to go do, I mean, that brought me alive. Yeah. I was like, now I'm in my element. Mm-hmm. Before I had to suppress that, and that wasn't working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the ones that you love can actually experience those best parts of you. Uh-huh. When, you know, previous positions that I've been in, I would give it, and it would take a lot of energy mm-hmm. all day long. Yeah. And I gave all that I had all day. And so by the time I got home, I didn't have anything left to give because there was nothing that was energizing me about those positions.
Yeah.
And so having things now where I can go and I can give, but it's also giving back to me. Mm-hmm. I don't get home empty.
Oh, I realized that about connecting at one point. Nothing energizes me more than meeting a new person, or even this where like I'm mm-hmm. learning new things about you. And I just love connecting with new people.
Yeah.
But that's not really a job. I mean, that's not... See, I didn't have any kind of sales type experiences like you've had where that was actually valuable. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's not a real job. And so it felt cop-out or fake or something. And then I started realizing, no, this energizes me. I'm at my best. So I want to do, I don't know what it is, but I want to do more in my work life that gets me doing more of connecting with people.
And especially once you realize that you enjoy that, and then you connect with other people and see how they're impacted.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, people need this and will pay for it. Yeah. Like, But I mean, it's so valuable because people don't often get, you know, consistent interactions that are actually life-giving.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times they're having to have hard conversations and interact with people that are like, yeah, you're draining me. And so to intentionally create that space for someone where they can feel empowered after a conversation with you, that's worth money.
Isn't that interesting though, how being around someone, it's infectious. Like it being around someone who's, someone said this the other day, a friend said, I'm going to botch how he said it. He's like, you're one of the people I know who's most like living day to day in your what you were made to do, something like that, which of course was really meaningful and I appreciated hearing that. But but my takeaway was more like how infectious it is to be around someone who's really in their sweet spot, who's, you know, the fact that they're energized energizes you.
Mm-hmm.
That's just interesting to me.
Yeah. It makes such a difference. Like when you are walking in purpose, you are bringing a level of enjoyment and someone sees that and they're like, I want that. I want what you have. And so it's almost like you become a magnet to people because they're like, what is that? How can I get more of that? Yeah. And as you talk to them and interact, it does. It literally like transfers, I feel like.
Yeah.
At least that's been my experience when I meet people who are, you know, energizing and the way that I hope to be when I talk to other people.
And you're right too, that it's what am I trying to say? It's rare. Like a lot of times people are saying I don't get much of that. I want more of that. Or it's so rare that they feel energized in that way.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad.
It is.
I don't know why that's so rare for people.
Yeah. I think it's not something that people are often intentional about or that they prioritize or that they know is possible. And so I feel like you have to seek out opportunities to like, okay, I know that I have all these draining things to do, but I have to find something that's life-giving for me so that I have an enjoyable version of me to bring to a situation. A lot of people are walking around after doing all of these things that they did because they had to and not because they wanted to. And that's how they are presenting to other people as well. But for you, for instance, when you're doing your job and it's something that you want to do that is energizing for you, how you're going to show up to even the stranger in CVS, like it's going to be different.
That's how we met. I was like, wait, there's something going on with her.
Yes.
Because
at the restaurant.
You were like emanating that that joy and that, like, it was, you were clearly really into what you were doing and cared about it and like were energized, and that,
yeah,
that came off big time.
But even in that, I would show up and I would say, okay, who's ready to bring great experiences to people? And there would be a couple of people in particular that would literally say, Brittany,
yeah,
why are you so happy? Like, yeah, get out. Like, they would literally be like, oh, Brittany's at work today. That means we have to, like,
so actually, happy.
Because I was there because I wanted to be. Mm. It was, I enjoyed it. I liked it. I didn't, but a lot of them were there because they felt like they had to be. Like, this is the only job that I can get right now. This is the only thing that I'm qualified for, or this is the only place that I have the option to work at. And so it was very much this, I have to be here.
Yeah.
And it changed their disposition. Mm-hmm. And so, but for me, I was like,
well, because it can start to seep in and you start to actually believe, like, no, I don't, there isn't anything that energizes me. And I've been there before too. And it's, I just don't think it's true. Mm-hmm. I think we all have
something. Yeah.
And we're all wired to have things that, that make us come alive. Like, no one, you know, I always use the personalysis assessment. And one of the graphs, one of the boxes shows you what lights you up and gives you energy, like your purpose, your joy. And no one ever has just an empty box on that. Like, everyone has something. But I think we can start to believe, no, there's nothing that does that for me.
Yeah.
And then just kind of go with that.
And I mean, I have a friend of mine who, different from me, numbers energize her.
Yeah.
Now she doesn't work in an accounting type job. She doesn't work with numbers at all. But what she will do is manage her friends' budgets on the side.
Yeah.
Because she's like, it's like a video game. And I'm like, ew.
No, I vibe with
her. Do that because it energizes you. And because if what you are mainly doing, if that drains you, you got to find some way to tap into the things that are like, oh, that this brings me so much energy. And she's just like, it brings her so much joy, and she's like different when she's working with numbers. And I'm like, okay, girl, do your thing.
That's funny. Yeah. I have enough of that in me. I would make spreadsheets for fun at some jobs just to, like, because it's so fun to plug it all in and see it work. See the answer spit out.
Is it?
Yes, it is. You have not done a good spreadsheet before.
Apparently not. Apparently not. I am still the person though, like, if I'm trying to make Excel do something, I have to Google, okay, make this line all have commas or something. Like, I have to Google, like, what formula to put in and what. Like, I have no, I'm not good at that, and I don't enjoy it.
Mm. Wouldn't have guessed that about you.
My more professional, traditional job that I'm doing now, I don't love every piece of it, but I'm able to lean into the pieces of it that I do love and that do bring me that same energy. So, like, the connecting with people piece, I'm not connecting with people every moment, but I know that if I make these calls and reach out to these businesses, I'm going to schedule a meeting, and then I get to make that connection with that person, and that's going to be energizing. And so that's my motivator. Uh-huh. Like, okay, I have to do tedious things. I have to, like, plug away and do this, but then it's going to result in the thing that I love. And so I think that,
well, and you're building somewhere. I think that's probably the piece for me. I don't think I've ever shared it on here, but I mean, to me, most of my day, most of my weeks, most of these first 7 years of business has been stuff I don't love and stuff that's really hard. Because I'm driven by the vision of what it's going to lead to. Like, there is an element of, like, grinding and building towards something. And for me, it's not actually building towards a certain work. Like, I'm doing the work now that I love. What I'm building towards is more of the life that it'll create.
Yeah.
Like you and Zumba and coaching. I mean, my dream would be to coach, like, one person a week. And it's a Tuesday. And I pick them up and they don't know where we're going to go in the morning. We go to the airport and we, like, fly to Spain and we just, like, start our coaching is the whole day together. And it's, like, in the airport, and it's, you know, once we get there, driving to the beach, it's on the beach, it's, like, coming back, and there's kind of an adventure experiential element to the coaching, because I hate the, like, 30-minute pop in and try to do something rushed. And I've seen the power of like experiences. So that's my dream. Like, I can't do that today. Right. I do not have the financial means to approach it that way.
Just go to Spain tomorrow.
But I'm building towards like, that's literally something I'm going to do one day, I hope. And other things, like I want to have a product team where we can just like take an idea like Shark Tank and give it to them and just let them build it.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a fun, like it's something that really energizes me that I can't afford that today, but I'm building the business in a way that we'll be able to do that someday.
Yeah. And that's the thing, having a vision, that is the main part of it. Like if you don't know where you're going or why you're working, if you don't have your discover your why, but if you don't have that, everything is, it's going to seem pointless. It's going to, there's, you're going to find no motivation to keep doing the hard things, keep doing the frustrating things, the mundane things, all of that, because you don't know why you're doing it. Mm-hmm. You don't have a big picture that you're working towards. You don't have a goal that you're trying to reach, a vision for where your life is going.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times the people that you'll find that are just kind of going through life and they are not energized and they are more frustrated and not displaying some of those things that we've been talking about, they don't know where they're going or why they're doing the things that they do. And so it's like,
or same with the people who hit a big success and then it causes more depression because they actually don't know what to do with that money or what to do with that status. It's like there wasn't any thought beyond just getting that money or status.
And so I think defining where you're going and why you're going there, I mean, that's a necessity.
Yeah.
If you want to tap into that satisfaction of life and that happiness and that fulfillment and that joy that nothing else can affect, if you want to tap into that, you need to know why you're doing what you're doing. Yeah. And you need to be convinced of that outside of anything else that anyone else says or does or whatever hurdles you have to face or things that come against you that try to keep you from that. Like, you have to be so set on, this is my goal, this is my vision, and this is why.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that there aren't things that can push you off that path.
I agree so much. I think we have this weird way of being very focused on what we're doing. Mm-hmm. It's almost like companies being focused on their mission.
Yeah.
All they ever talk about is their mission. And that's like what you're doing every day. But if you don't know where you're trying to get to, what you're doing might be useless. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I always go back to the cheesy example of traveling. It's like, if I'm trying to get to LA, but all I'm focused on is like trying to save money and be efficient, I might save a ton of money and get all the best flights and land in the wrong time zone.
Yes. Like,
it does not matter what I do along the way if I don't have any idea where I'm trying to get to. But if I know where I'm trying to get to, then like all the decisions can work toward that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I felt that the biggest in COVID as a newer business.
Oh my gosh.
It's like there were so many temptations to make decisions that would just get me out of the, you know, just fix the pressure point. And just do this to get money. And the only thing that kept me on the right path was that vision of where are we trying to get to? Okay, no, I cannot accept this like investor money because that's going to tank the vision.
Yeah.
And then 10 years from now, I'll regret like building something I don't even like anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think we have to always have that end goal in mind, but also having people around us that can remind us when we're not so motivated, or when we do, because we will, because we're human.
Yeah.
We're going to have tough days. We're going to have days that it's just, I don't have it today. I can't show up. but even with my working out, my husband knows, like, if I don't go work out, he knows all of the things that are going to happen, how I'm going to feel, how I'm going to show up, how I'm going to, like, all of that. And so if I hit a day where I'm like, I'm not going, I'm like, I can't go, he is probably more determined than I am on the good days to get me there. Mm-hmm. And you have to have people like that in your corner to remind you.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you need that extra push and that reminder when it's like, okay, I forgot, or it's too far off, or I'm not motivated today, or I feel like I'm never going to reach it. With the working out, I have a goal that I am trying to reach.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I step on the scale and she is disrespectful with the numbers she puts up, I want to quit because I'm like, I'm working really hard and I'm doing all these things and I'm not seeing the results. But I know if I continue to be consistent, I'm eventually going to get where I want to be.
Yeah.
And that's with everything in life.
One thing I loved about the conversation with Brittany is that she is living the idea of work creating the life that you want versus what we've all made the default in work, that work is our identity. And that's how we introduce ourselves at a party. It's like what we do. And so we lead with that. And then we shape everything in our life around that. And we just hope that work leaves us enough space to do the things we love and be the person that we want to be. What if we flipped it? I mean, this is actually a thing that we can do now. And I mean, it's the beautiful part about living in this point in history is now we can flip that funnel. Start with what do I want to do and be in my life? And then let work be built around that. So I love that Brittany is doing that, and she has been doing that for a while. So what that looks like for her is multiple gigs. She's got a few different sources of income. She flexes her time quite a bit. But like she talked about, there's different things that are what's important to her. And she builds those into her life and then lets work kind of be filtered around that. So her work is very purposeful. She finds a lot of meaning in it, both because she likes the work and because it's actually giving her more of the life that she wants. So I just like the practical elements of that. That can feel like a lofty topic, but she really brings it down to earth and it's like, no, here's what it looks like for her. So the takeaway isn't this is that you're that you need to copy paste what she does. Her approach to it is actually quite unique. So it's not going to look, most people are not going to look like her way of doing it. But what does that look like for you? And it starts with just giving some thought to what do I actually want in life? A lot of people struggle with that question. And so, you know, that's where coaching comes in. Help getting somebody or somebodies who can help you to reflect on that and get some clarity.